is better. Les, do you see me now?
No.
Okay, hold on. What do you see now?
A black screen and me in the right-hand corner.
How about now?
Nope.
Everything's set up right here. And that happened before for some reason. When was the last time you restarted your computer?
Just this morning.
Okay. Let's go back. Go ahead and exit here and come back again, because might as well try it until you could see me, like the last time that worked. And I don't know what's causing it. You know, it might be on his end. It might be on our end. I'm not sure. So we'll wait till Les comes back and we'll get going. So hopefully it's always better if obviously someone can see who they're on the show with. And if Les can only see a dot, that's not good. All right. Hopefully that did it, Les. Anything?
Oh, there you are.
There you go. Who knows why this happens, right? Yeah. All right. Good morning, my friend.
Morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm okay. How about you?
Good. Not too bad.
Anything happened since we last met last Friday?
Not that I can recall. I changed my light bulb, though. You notice my lighting's a bit different. My eyes aren't as squinty today as last week, so I'd be all right there.
Oh,
good. Is that good enough? Yeah.
Yeah, so, it looks a little darker. But
it does.
Yeah.
I turned down the light bulb wattage a bit there.
Right.
It was like getting the third degree every time we were on the show.
Right. Right.
It is an interview program, so maybe it is appropriate.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, I haven't grilled you yet, Les.
No, you haven't. You've been nice.
Yes. Yes. That's going to change, though, after the election.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah. So
play some hardball.
Yeah, anything happened in regards to the election?
Not really. Just our bank account has been screwed up a little bit. So we're going to have to go and re-sign some sheets for some reason. This is very unusual. So that's just about it. Hopefully I'll have some flyers ready for next week, which I certainly will. And I'll hand out some flyers, just a few hundred. And I'll try and talk to people and get some good quality information going out to people instead of just dropping them off at their mailbox and leaving them on their step like an orphan baby. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of people don't even look at these things. So if I go and approach people and discuss things with them, I think I'll be more successful. It's going to be a slow road, but it's the best way to go. At least the people that I talk to will be well informed.
Right. So today is the 18th and the election is the 28th. So we'll probably get together next Friday. And that will be the Friday before the Monday election.
Yes.
And have you been, out pounding the pavement and pressing the flesh since then, meeting people, knocking on their doors or?
Not without paper. No, I just walk around and say hi to people. I'm sure they recognize me from the news reports. People give me a good response. They're all real friendly and they like my good nature. So they respond accordingly.
Yes. Right. Exactly.
Generally speaking, almost entirely.
And are you, how are you? Like today is, like I said, the 18th. You were just released a little bit ago.
About 3 months ago.
Yeah. Have you gotten adjusted to, life on the other side of, the penitentiary, the correctional institution? Or do you feel like you're still there sometimes?
Well, it's still, there's still the risk of me going back to jail for a couple of reasons. Number one, I'm on probation for a year, unless that changes at my new sentencing hearing. They may throw me back in jail for all I know. I don't know when that's going to be. So the Crown's appealing the sentence and we're appealing the decision.
Right.
Yeah. The sentence. It's the decision, right?
Yeah. The ruling by the.
The ruling, exactly. I'm pronunciating this morning. That's a nice cup of ice you got going there. It's pretty good.
Yeah, thanks.
But anyhow, so that's where we stand on the legal front. So we stand on shaky ground, despite the fact that I was, my lawyer tells me that three of the four convictions were improper, right? So we'll see what we can do. But right. I don't trust much in the legal system anyhow. So
yeah.
It is what it is. This is a fight for our freedom in Canada for real. Our people have been killed by the people that they've been electing, as well as the police. Right. So, so I stood up to those folks and a couple of influencers, the people that I saw that, you know, I thought were connected to this. And I ended up getting a whole bunch of charges for it. Right. But no one's ever gone to jail for killing our people with vaccines yet or locking us down.
No, it's getting close.
Well, let's hope so.
Yeah.
Around the world, people are starting to wake up to this vaccine murder, this genocide. Yes. Right. And, they said that I had a blueprint for the genocide of the Jews in my videos, which I don't believe I did.
You had the final solution.
Well, exactly. Not a whole scale genocide. You know, it's just I thought I'd bring a few people to justice or suggest it to people. Right. So basically, I figured I was a bit more specific than my conviction would indicate, you know. So we'll see what happens.
Right. You know, the elusive final solution, less has it. They've been searching for that for 100 years or more. You know, what got you in the sights of these things were a series of videos you did, right?
Yes.
Was it primarily one video or?
Well, initially, they arrested me because of the final broadcast that I made, the second broadcast on my Patriot Posse broadcasts, where I asked people to come to my house with their guns and ammo and go on safari and disarm and arrest the police and the other people responsible for the COVID genocide, the vaccine genocide against the population here and around the world. It was a worldwide genocide. So anyway, they came for the one video, and then after that, they threw 18 more videos on, which I didn't even know about until about a month before my trial, right? And I didn't even really get a chance to view them or to examine them or to have any kind of disclosure. Where in America, you call that discovery.
Right.
So now I'll have a chance to form some sort of defense, and we'll see what happens. I'm bringing the Talmud into court. I'm going to prove that what I said was true about the Jewish blueprint for genocide of humanity, of non-Jewish humanity. I'm going to, that's what I said, and I'm going to back it up with evidence.
Good.
So it's not racism. It's not hate. It's actually truth. And I'm showing my love for the Canadian people and humanity, including a couple of the Jews that might have helped us, because in the Talmud, it says they should be disposed of as well if they help the Goyim.
Right.
Right. So why harm allies just because they came out of a Jewish mother?
Exactly.
So, yeah, pretty far from a genocide, you know, is what I was suggesting. You know, I was just bringing people to justice, I thought. And they called it a genocide. They call everything a genocide.
Yeah. Yeah.
If they do it, then it's good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly. Right. Yeah. Like that Russian or Polish proverb, the Jew cries out in pain as he strikes you. You've heard that?
I've heard things like this, yes, Dave.
Yeah. we're not talking about anything other than, in this case, a particular proverb, which, I don't know the etymology of it, but they're going to be watching this, and I'll say this again. The enemy will be watching this, because that's what they do. And they'll be looking for reasons to bolster their opposition to you being a free man. And so we just have to be careful about what we say. But if we talk about a particular proverb that you or I had nothing to do with, the creation of, I don't think that's any issue. Saying that the Jew cries out in pain as he strikes you. That's something that was devised millennia ago, and for good reason, obviously. And we're seeing it, happen right now. Thomas Dwyer is here, Les. He says, good morning, Dave and Les.
Good morning, Thomas.
And Thomas is down here by me in this same county where... I guess we could say summer is here. summer is officially here. It's going to be in the upper 80s, probably, you know, nudging close to 90. So, you know, and with that heat comes the humidity. And that's why a lot of Canadians like to holiday down here. You know, you see down by the, what used to be the Gulf of Mexico, the Gulf of America, you see a lot of Canadian plates. So they drive all the way down. And a lot of Canadians enjoy holidaying here in the United States because obviously we have the, you know, the warmer climes. That interview or that show you did, the last one that triggered their visit, was there, one of FTJ's listeners, viewers, followers had sent an email about that particular video. Was there someone who, because I never got to watch it in its entirety, and it's not up anymore. It used to be on BitChute. You could see the actual video there, but you can't, nothing can, you can press it, but nothing will happen.
Right. I think people may have mirrored that video now. I believe so.
Ah.
Gotcha. I think so. I haven't watched it. I don't know if it's active or not. My site is definitely inactive. I just thought I'd take precautions.
Yes. So if you could email that to me, that would be good, that mirror. Because I would want to see this part. And yeah, Thomas, snowbirds. That's right. Canadian snowbirds, Canucks. Canucks, as we call them.
They come down for the Americans, not the weather.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So this was there some fella who called into that show you did who was kind of egging you on?
I don't know if he was egging me on. He was expressing some opinions. And I was just being a good host and kind of just being agreeable. I
mean, did you know who that was?
Pardon me?
Did you know who that was?
Just some guy, you know, just called up. I'm just going to leave it at that.
So you didn't know him?
Well, I'm just going to leave it at that, Dave. And you know, that's pretty much all I got to say about that.
Yep. Okay. Got you. Because this fella emailed and said that he had listened to that video and in full. The first time when they were first published, just before they arrested Les. I know all about them as soon as they were published on BitChute. I know right away something was really off, and that caller sounded very suspicious to me. Like he may have been planted specifically to implicate Les. That's not the case, you think, Les?
It's hard to say, Dave. In this game that we're it's not really a game, but we'll call it that, that we're in. Basically, we're dealing with a lot of people that are misrepresenting themselves, as well as genuine people that are representing themselves accurately. You know what I mean? So it's hard to tell who's who in this. It really is. It's a tough call, you know? I'm pretty sure I'll shake, you know, rub elbows with Shills here and there, but you know, who knows who, right? You don't know. I just have to vote for myself. I can only vote for myself, and that's all I can do, right? And even if I have people in my party that I'm going to start, I mean, I don't know. You know what I mean? You really don't know. And even when you think you know, you don't know. Like even the some of the biggest spy services in the world, the most established ones, have been infiltrated by moles. And I'm sure they've tried to, you know, vet these people. But if they can't prevent that from happening, I'm sure that I can't do it either.
Right. So the fella says, I thought you also listened to that two-part podcast. You will realize there's something strange about that caller. Who is that caller? I never heard him on any other show. And why was he Fed posting so severely? Leslie took the bait and went with it, but it seemed to me the caller was actually doing most of the talking, provoking Les to agree with him, inciting violence. Could that have happened, Les?
Well, I'm pretty sure I agreed with a couple of his points during the video, so that was enough to get me in trouble just by being in agreement with what he's saying or nodding or whatever I did. I don't have a real good recollection of the whole thing at all. I do remember it, like a bit of it, like the gist of it pretty much. But every little nuance, no, I don't remember.
Has this guy ever called before?
Nope, but he was on a show once before with a guy named Breiser. I don't know if you know that person.
I do know Breiser. Yeah, out in Ireland, right?
Right. So, you know, he was on that show before.
So you're not suspicious of this guy at all?
It's hard to say, Dave. You know, I mean, I'm responsible for my own actions. You know what I mean?
No, but I mean, do you think it's possible that this caller could have been, you know, trying to get you to say things that you might not have ordinarily said?
Well,
I mean, I want to answer this guy's question.
Yeah, well, it's entirely possible, you know, but would I bet my life on it? Not really. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? This is the thing. It's up in the air. I do not know who this person was. Was he a regular guy? Was he a government agent? What was he? You know what I mean? I have no idea who this person was. Like, I've never met the person.
He could have just been someone who, you know, recognized, you know, the issues at hand and was voicing his displeasure at them.
Right. And what I was trying to accomplish with that episode of the show was to create a basis point, a starting point for a conversation with the public. And we're going to discuss violent action versus democratic action. You know what I mean? And the reason I call people to my house with their guns and ammo is to show people that despite what happened, you know, to the people of Canada and the world during that COVID vaxdemic, that psychological, paramilitary, terrorist, chemical and biological warfare operation against humanity, that we're not going to get out of this because no one's got it in their heads to do anything direct, we'll say, right, with the violence, right? So that's where I was hoping to go with this, because I knew the next week no one's showing up at my house. You know what I mean? Like, I had 250 subscribers, and I just wanted to see if we could get the views up a little bit, and then we could start talking a little bit more sensibly to people. Like, basically everything was from the top of my head, but I had a general idea of what I wanted to accomplish, you know? And like Kennedy said, if peaceful change is impossible, then violent change is inevitable. I was trying to push peaceful change to its limits. And the first thing I wanted to do is dissuade the people from keeping out of the democratic process, we'll say. I know it's corrupt, but I was hoping to overwhelm this process and choke it with people that are supporting our cause, you know, where it becomes so apparent to all the people that the government isn't even counting the votes properly and not giving a fair shake to all the candidates, that maybe the democratic system's failed. Now, if we win, that's a different matter. It'd be perfect. But I just wanted to show the public that we've been toyed with in a very bad way, and they're not going to let us change, right? But like I said, I'd like to be wrong. And had this democratic movement succeeded, which it continues now, this is just a continuation of what I've done, Dave. That's all it is. I'm still on plan A. I'm changing my tack a little bit because I've got the attention of the public now. So I've accomplished that step one, right? Step two is to inform the public. And step three will be to use that information to change our country and turn it around on a dime, which we can do when we change our economy and get rid of some of the people that, like, remove the people from power that are there now and replace them with some real Canadians and some real human beings that want to help humanity, right? That's what we're going for. Are you muted?
Sorry about that. I always mute, and then I have to flick it on. I wish there was some sort of, like, visual to let me know that. That would be good. Do you think that overall, generally, the Canadians that you come into contact with are open to, you know, these more advanced discussions about who is, you know, controlling things and, or even just that. Do you think that the learning curve for this is too steep to pull us out of, you know, this, you know, this sharp decline that we're in?
I think that we should focus on the symptoms, right, to get the new people in. And then once we explain to them how the mechanisms of banking work, the corruption in government, you know, we can explain how things work up there, how we don't have the right to really control our country, how the police behaved during the COVID vaccdemic.
But I mean, they saw that. They saw it.
They did see it, but they need to see a leader who's echoing what they're saying.
But I mean, if they're not, if they're not infuriated by it, from what they saw, right? It doesn't seem like they're out there looking for a leader. Would you agree with that?
If they weren't infuriated, I'd say, yeah. I think, Dave, a lot of people have that vaccine regret. You know what I mean? And I'm sure by now they've heard the stories of other people passing away from this vaccine. So these people have to be wondering what's been done to them, you know? And not to mention, everybody in the country has been locked down by the police and the government and their influencers, you know, the New World Order. And people are starting to wake up to this this entity out there. And then they might not know exactly everything about it. They haven't lifted the veil entirely. But at least they can see the wizard's feet now. You know what I mean? Or the curtain. So
Right.
He's got shoes, right? So
yeah. Say that again, Les.
He's got small shoes too, so they're not too worried about him.
Right. Exactly. Stephanie's here, Les, and she says, continued prayers, love and blessings to all, always and in all ways.
Well, thank you, Stephanie.
There was obviously the trucker protest that everyone, you know, on our side of the aisle, let's say, was very excited about. And of course, the heavy-handed way that the governments, you know, because Canada, as we discussed, is somewhat similar to the United States in that it has these, what are they called, territories?
Yeah, we have provinces. Three territories, yes.
Yep. The heavy-handed way that they were dealt with. Did you pay close attention to that trucker protest?
I certainly did. I attended it twice. And, you know, I knew it was prepared or, inspired by a controlled opposition. There's no doubt about this. But real Canadians attended this thing, like a lot of them. And it was good to see Canadians standing up. And it was the most peaceful thing I've ever attended. It was amazing how peaceful that protest was until the police showed up 3 weeks later. The fourth week the police came, I believe it was. And they brought long-range acoustic devices, those LRAD things. They used them as well. They also had snipers on the roofs to shoot the protesters if something happened. And somebody mentioned that those police weren't police in the line in the green uniforms. They didn't have any insignia on them. They were probably some kind of mercenaries that came in, or maybe some special force the police, assembled to, you know, do things to people and have their identity held, but, you know, hidden from the public, because they had no insignia, no identification on them, nothing, right? And they're the ones beating the protesters.
Right. So, like you said, mercenaries.
Well, not to mention the horses that they brought in to trample people. This lady, the elderly lady, she happened to be Aboriginal. She got trampled, almost got killed. I made a video where I thought she was actually dead, and I was pretty angry about that. But that's off the internet. That's been brought down now as well. I took it down just as part of the rest of the,
Sure. We want to keep you on this side of, you know, that facility or any facility.
Well, certainly. So yeah. I've done what I can do to comply with the law, you know, so that's all I can do, really. You know,
yeah. Let's just take a look at something here. Now, of course, this is Ziopedia. So take from that what you will. We do have one more post from Canada. That is the name of the poster. I've buried so many who got that who got the jab, who used to ban me from their home for the first year of the jab since I'd not been jabbed. It's a lot of jabs. Let me show you this, Les, because this is interesting. Let me bring it up. So this is Ziopedia, commonly referred to as Wikipedia, but we know all about them. The Canada Convoy Protest. That was 2022. So you were obviously still out, and that's how you could go. Because they kidnapped you in on February 14th, right? Valentine's Day.
Yeah, the 13th, and then I went to Maplehurst on the 14th from the police station.
Right.
And that was about a year after the police showed up at the truckers' protest and, you know, used extreme violence and terrorist means to break it up.
Yeah, so it started, it says, beginning on 1/22/22, hundreds of vehicles, and it was initially organized to oppose the mandates, the vaccine, it's not a vaccine, but let's just call it vaccine mandates. Moving quickly expanded to protest all COVID restrictions and mandates. Beginning on January 22, 2022, hundreds of vehicles departed from various locations across Canada, converging in Ottawa. And what's significant about Ottawa? What is Ottawa in relation to Canada?
Well, that's our capital city.
Okay. The capital of all Canada.
It is.
Okay.
And it's in Ontario.
Thank you. On January, so it took them a week for a rally at Parliament Hill, and I guess that's a government building. Joined, yes, and
that's like your Capitol Hill, I guess, right?
Right.
Parliament Hill.
Yes. Yeah. It's like the U.S. Capitol. Joined by thousands of pedestrian protesters, thousands. Parallel demonstrations occurred in provincial capitals and at key border crossings with the United States. Approximately 85% of Canadian truck drivers serving cross-border routes were vaccinated, but the new restrictions potentially affected up to 16,000 drivers. Protesters called for the repeal of all mandates and restrictions, citing concerns over personal freedoms and government outreach. So it started as that by these particular truckers who didn't want to get these clot shots, right? Is that accurate?
Right. I believe that's the case there. Yep, Dave.
Okay. So the federal government responded by invoking the Emergencies Act on February 14, 2022, and granting extraordinary powers to law enforcement. In 1 week, most blockades and protests have been dismantled through large-scale police operations. The convoy drew a mixed response from the public and various organizations. Trucking groups criticized the protests, asserting most participants were not truckers. Allegations of involvement by far-right groups and calls for the federal government to be overthrown were also raised, as were concerns about the seizure of weapons. Supporters saw the movement as a grassroots stand for liberty against government overreach. Okay, let's just quickly scroll down to here. And There were lawsuits, investigations, criticisms. Let me get to that particular. That's what happens when you have a big article. Look at that. Okay. Opinion polls. For whatever they might be worth or not worth, right? Let's take a look. In an abacus data, or data, an abacus data is a Canadian polling and market research firm founded in 2010. A survey of 1,410 Canadian adults undertaken before the protest turned into an occupation between January 31 and February 2, 68% of those 1,410 Canadian adults stated they had very little in common with the demonstrators and their ideology, and 32% of the 1,410 Canadian adults stated they had a lot in common. So that's half. Half of the 68 who said they had very little in common. 43% stated they felt the protest was respectful and appropriate, while 57% viewed it as offensive and inappropriate. So 1,410 Canadian adults, approximately two-thirds of those were opposed to it. Study by Vox Pop Labs among a randomly preselected sample of 2,339 respondents between January 4 and 10, so that was before the trucker protest, found around 70% of Canadians were willing to support a general vaccine mandate for all non-exempt adults over 18, while around 30% disagreed. Another poll by Leger, that's the largest Canadian-owned market research and analytics company with more than 600 employees in 8 Canadian U.S. offices, questioned respondents on the protest between February 4 and 6, so that was obviously after, and found that it was opposed by 62% of respondents, with about half strongly opposing it, about a third supported it, 7% unsure. On its subsequent questionnaire, over two-thirds expressed belief the convoy represented a small minority of selfish Canadians. Over half viewed it as not about vaccine mandates and pandemic restrictions, but rather an opportunity for right-wing supremacist groups to rally and voice their frustrations about society. And over half likened it to the attack on the Capitol on January 6th, 2021. Opposition to the convoy was highest among people in urban areas, those vaccinated, and those 55 and up, while support for the convoy was highest among the unvaccinated ages 18 to 54 and respondents living in Alberta. Out of all ethnic groups, only white Canadians and Filipino Canadians had a majority support for the event. Another poll by the Maru Public Opinion found about two-thirds of Canadians polled would support the aid of the Canadian Armed Forces to tow trucks from the protests. Over half supported the use of Ottawa police to clear out the protesters. Another poll, the Angus Reid Institute, on the 1 year of you going to Maplehurst before, found 72% thought it was time for protesters to go home. They have made their point. Also found over two-thirds believed Trudeau's response has worsened the situation, and 42% said the opposition leader's response has worsened the situation. Two more polls, a Nanos research poll on February 25, found over half of Canadians thought the protests were ineffective, 15% thought they were somewhat ineffective, 20% thought they were somewhat effective, 12% thought they were effective, and 2% were unsure. And the last one, an Economist YouGov poll conducted from February 12 to 15, found 80% of Americans had heard of the convoy protests. The poll, so there's 20% who were completely clueless. The poll also found 44% of Americans opposed the protests, while 40% supported them. Among Republicans, 71% supported the protests compared to 18% of Democrats. Let's say that, you know, out of all these polls, right, if we take them all together, and some people don't believe anything about polls, they think they're all rigged and biased. And they are, but, you know, there is some truth in them, of course. There doesn't appear to be a lot of support for the protest. Do you believe these polls, or do you think that they're skewed?
It's tough to say. I do know that people were crowding bridges and overpasses to cheer on the protesters when they were first going to Ottawa. There were a lot of people out. So it's tough to say. I didn't hear too much said against these things, but then I didn't really speak to too many people about it either, right? But my impression was it was a fairly well-accepted thing. It was welcome. And I think the only people that didn't like it were the people that are responsible for murdering Canadians with poison vaccines and locking us in our houses and things like this, and preventing us from going to work. Other than that, I think a lot of people were welcoming this this freedom. I think some of the people that even got vaccinated, they wanted to be free from these restrictions as well, because some of the vaccinated people were coerced into becoming vaccinated. They weren't well, everybody was coerced into it when you think about it, because they were lied to, right? So that's a form of coercion itself. But from the threat of police terrorism if they go to work, and, you know, they get arrested because they're not supposed to be there, and things like this. You know, people were definitely coerced. You know what I mean? And those folks, they definitely resented this whole thing.
Right. But a very small, it seems like a very small percentage of Canadians were opposed to that status quo. They wanted to be oppressed, and they wanted the truckers to be punished.
I think initially for the first year of the lockdowns, a lot of people, they bought into this thing. Yep. Some people, you know, may still buy into it today.
But yeah,
by the time the truck protest happened, I think the country had more than enough of this. And people were cheering on the truckers, despite the origins of this whole thing, right, being a controlled opposition. But they just saw it as being an organic development, and they just thought they'd support their fellow Canadians, which was a nice thing to see.
Right, but the polls show the reverse of that. That's why I'm asking.
It's entirely possible, Dave, that the majority of Canadians, the slight majority, would have opposed it. Absolutely. It's entirely possible.
It looks like about two-thirds. Two-thirds opposed it. If these numbers are accurate, and I believe they are because most people don't know anything, have you seen any change? Of course, as time goes on, COVID is, you know, becoming less and less important to most folks. They really don't want to be reminded of what happened. They want to carry on with their lives. Have you noticed that there is more or less interest in talking about the truckers or COVID or anything like that?
Well, it's hard to say. The mainstream media certainly isn't speaking about it because they want to forget about the whole thing because they're responsible for a lot of harm. And so are the politicians, so are the police, and so are some other people, you know? And you see it in the media. I mean, they throw up these stories to, you know, get people's attention and take it away from punishing these people and, you know, really examine what happened on the news, and they won't do that. And the politicians certainly aren't going to admit, like the Japanese prime minister did, that, you know, he's responsible for a lot of deaths. And at least that guy had the balls to come out and tell people that, yeah, I just killed millions of you. Sorry about that. You know, so.
Right. That's my point.
Not around with the WEF anymore and the World Health Organization and all these other international interest groups.
Well, right. They did their damage. And now COVID's receding from the public view for the most part. And the ones who were eager to get this, experimental poison injected into their bodies, the ones who were coerced to do it, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of, even with, Kennedy now, as the head of the Department of Health and Human Services, there's not a flood of people coming forward and go, oh, Bobby Kennedy's here. Great. I can tell them all about what I think. It seems like most are satisfied with, like I said, the status quo. And, you know, they're not out there with their pitchforks demanding change. Could it be that most folks are just struggling to get by and are living paycheck to paycheck?
There is that element. Also, nobody that's been elected has even suggested that we bring these people to justice or even examine the whole thing of the COVID vaccinemic. I'm about the only person that's brought that up. You know, it's a little detail people forget, that when people get murdered en masse, so the people responsible should be brought to justice.
Right, and that's my point.
That's why I run for office, Dave. One of the reasons, to protect my Canadian people from these kind of folks.
But it doesn't seem like they want to be protected.
I think they do. I really do. I think people are. Then now we'll see what happens during this election. I could be entirely.
I'm just basing it on.
This will tell us a lot. If people vote for me, maybe it'll be an indication to us that people do want justice. And if they don't vote for me, there's a few possibilities. One is people don't want justice. The other thing is that people don't care. Right. So we'll see what happens.
Let's say they, you know, both of those are in play. They don't want justice. They don't care. Right. Look at, we talked about couple of weeks ago on the show I do with James Mason, we talked about George Lincoln Rockwell, and he was very active out there politically trying to get elected. And in Virginia, he couldn't even get 6,000 votes. I think the winning candidate got, I think it was something like over 200,000. This was for, I think, Virginia governor. And that guy had a lot of exposure. He was exposing, you know, what he considered to be, or who he considered to be at fault for the attacks on the predominant culture at the time, and which is still the predominant culture. I'm not saying this to discourage you. I'm just trying to look at this realistically, that it appears to me, and I imagine some other folks, that most of the people out there, besides not knowing anything, and we know that they don't, they're perfectly content with letting the government, whatever government is, run roughshod over them. And if, for example, you come across, and I know you don't expect to get many votes, because hell, you just got out, right? You don't have the money to go on television or cable or in the newspapers, except if they want to write something bad about you, which they do. If you come to the conclusion that, you know, they just don't care, will you like shift your strategy?
I suppose you'd have to regroup and examine what you're doing to try and get into people's minds. But I think we're taking the right path right now. And we just started after I got out of jail. And I'm off to a pretty good start. I've gotten a lot of publicity, despite it being kind of negative. They've actually allowed a few of my points that were very positive to leak out. So this should be an interesting thing. Even when they disrupted my message a little bit regarding backing currency with labor and using the labor of the civil service to fund, you know, the creation of money or to justify the printing of money to replace taxation. They took that part out. But what they did say was that Leslie Borey thinks that the labor of the civil service is worth more than gold. So they only mentioned that part of it, which is an unusual statement for them to put up and to exclude the rest of what I said regarding the value of that labor. You know, how we could back the printing of our currency with that labor. They kept it out. So people may be extrapolating on their own. Well, if it's worth more than gold, why don't we do, you know, but I don't know if they do that. But definitely it leaves the door open for people to do a little thinking on their own. And if people have these ideas and I haven't put it into their heads, it's a lot easier to convince people when you're not really convincing them, when all you do is show up and say, yeah, I share your thoughts. Let's print money and back it with the labor of the civil service. You know what I mean? So we'll see how that works out. Now that's going to take place on a small scale, I'm sure. I don't think everyone's having the same epiphany, but they certainly opened the door for people to do a little thinking by excluding everything that I said. So it's really interesting.
Canada says, friends of mine, and Canada put some links in there about Maplehurst. Canada, you might want to go back a couple of shows that Les and I did. We covered Maplehurst pretty thoroughly. And yeah, there is a paywall there. So, and I'm not going to pay for the Toronto Star, that's for sure. Canada says, friends of mine, at their own expense, went to Ottawa with a live stream camera system and streamed events the second weekend, as there was almost no MSM media covering the event to pretend it was a non-event to the country. But when I put their web link on a Facebook blog group, there were over 100,000 hits, so Canadians could find out and see what was going on. So yeah, the media, let's just call it that, the poison media, will not cover events like this, as we discussed, Les, and they'll pretend that it's not even existing. So they're complicit, obviously, in the same way that they're complicit in not giving you a fair shake. And they never will give you a fair shake because you're not part of their club. And of course, their club is, as it's been described, they're part of, you know, the whole, more so, the Democratic establishment. The Democrats and Republicans here in the states are obviously the two major parties, and they've been so for a while. What party in your country would be more closely aligned with the philosophy of the Democratic Party?
Oh, that would be the Liberals or the NDP as well, the New Democratic Party, which is supposed to be our Labor Party, but it's a joke.
And the party that would be most closely resemble the GOP.
The here. Republicans there?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be the Conservatives.
Okay.
Again, Dave, we just have, like you guys, we only have a one-party system in Canada. That's
yes,
all there is to it.
A uniparty. Yep.
Stuff, folks. Simple stuff, okay? If you don't see me to vote for, then basically chances are, and a great chance, that you're just voting for another communist party. That's all you're doing. Simple stuff.
Yep.
Zionist Communist Party, you'll be voting for the genocide of Palestinians and yourselves. So, I'm going to try to get people something better to vote for, which you think wouldn't be very hard to do.
Yeah, but
here's my platform point. Okay, folks, I'm not going to kill yous. Okay, I'm not going to kill yous en masse. How's that?
They still don't care.
Number one platform point, and that's it. Okay, I'm not going to kill you. Like the police tried to kill you, and the politicians did kill your friends and your family and things like that with these vaccines. No, I'm not going to kill yous. Nope, that's my platform point. No killing. How's that?
That's good. I mean, I get
it. There you go.
Yeah, doesn't wonderful. Seem like they get it.
People aren't waking up. But like I said, in jail, when I was in jail, and people get exposed to me a little bit. Now, I don't have 100% success rate. But what I did do is I had 100% success rate with preventing vaccinations on our ranges. And I'll take a bit of credit for that. I think I had something to do with that. Because I was telling people, as soon as I got on the range, what I was there for, the fact that I stood up for the country. And, they're trying to do me great harm, which they've done. And I told them why. And these guys listened to me. And they trusted me. And I did not betray them. They put their trust in a very good place. And I think I saved some lives in there by preventing more vaccinations from happening. Two times they came on the range. And they had a 100% denial rate. So it's perfect. Well done, boys. Smart. And even some of the guards were telling me that they quit work during that time, and they're only rehired afterwards because they didn't want to get the vaccine either, right? So this is pretty good. So there is a lot of shared beliefs here with a lot of Canadians that these vaccines were very bad. And like I said, things have turned, and more news reports are coming out now all the time, and the resistance to my opinions has gone down quite a bit. The only place you're going to see it is in the echo chambers of the courts, the police, the Crown prosecutors, and some, other people, which I, I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Okay, let's get back to the chat here. Shameless Wisest. Hello, sir. Morning, gents. I drove from Calgary to Ottawa with my wife and two dogs in the convoy. Very cool. Klausia says, good morning. Les.
Good morning.
Canada says some peeps who live in Ottawa don't understand that living in a capital city of a country comes with the understanding that protests happen elsewhere around the world when the public don't like what the government is doing, but thought that shouldn't happen in Canada. Are Canadians generally like more respectful of authority than Americans?
I don't know. I really don't know this. After the COVID, I think they're less respectful of the kind of authority that they've been placed under, right? They're looking forward to being the authority in their own country in the future, I think. But right now, they don't have any hope. They don't think that there's anyone that's going to ever represent them properly and be an extension of their will. So I don't know, Dave. It's a tough call on that one. Like nobody goes around shooting cops here and things like that en masse, despite what they've done to us. Nothing's like that's happened. I'm not sure why that is. If it's just a fear or a respect issue, I do not know. This is what it is. So,
right.
I'm not advocating for that either. Just probation for a while. And
oh, yes, yes.
Even if I wasn't, I'm not going to do that because I'm going to do this thing democratically and peacefully, real democracy or whatever you want to call it, elected representation or something like that. If we can arrange that in the future, that'd be nice. But right now, we don't have that. We just have a thing called democracy, which is as corrupt as anything.
Right, right. Canada says, I've done a lot of respite care for Canadian parents who got jabbed and went to the hospital when they got sick and never came home, as the next place they went to was the funeral home. And you would think that if there were, you know, a large number of people dying and then their family and friends would be talking out about it. I mean, you hear these statistics about, you know, reduced life expectancy here in the United States and elsewhere. And, you know, we see these people dropping dead live on camera. But it, like I said, it doesn't seem like that's even enough to wake, you know, wake the average person out of their slumber. You know, here's a person who, you know, were helping people who got this poison. And where are their family and friends? Why aren't they marching, you know, to Parliament Hill to demand investigations? See, that's what I'm saying. I would think that if there were so many people dying, that this would be a natural reaction. But it doesn't seem like anybody really cares, unless I'm missing something. I don't know.
Well, there might be a couple of factors playing in this. Maybe the fluoride is strong in these people. I don't know. Yeah. Also, the fact that, like, sincerely, I mean this, too. I know it is funny in a way, but it's just terrible. You know what I mean? At the same time. And also, I don't think they have hope in their elected representatives. They don't have hope in their police. They don't have any kind of, or pardon me, faith. They don't have faith in these people to do what's right. There was one police officer, I think it was in Eastern Ontario, near Ottawa, perhaps, and she talked to, or she investigated infant deaths and linked it to vaccines. And then she got charged by her own police force for just investigating and coming to those conclusions. Amazing stuff. It was misconduct, I believe, she was charged with and convicted, I believe. You know, and I don't think it was an official court. I think it was just some kind of police services board thing, I believe. I don't know for sure. But I do remember reading a bit of that article. And my hat's off to that person, that police officer, believe it or not. It's probably the first time you'll ever hear me say that. But I want to encourage good behavior. And she definitely exemplified what it means to be someone that's supposed to take care of your people by stand up for these children, you know, and shining a light on their deaths and what caused them or she thinks caused them. Right. So good for her. The rest of the police, I have no respect for whatsoever. Definitely. They're in with the big guys. They're as culpable as anybody in the New World Order because they work for them. They were the terrorists that made us do what we did.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Okay, let's get back here. And Canada says, sorry about those choppers flying overhead. It's amazing. They literally fly almost right over this house. This is like the Navy base, the Naval Air Station that trains. It's like the first stop that, you know, wannabe pilots go to learn how to be a pilot. The base is like probably maybe 40 miles away to the northwest, but somehow they fly right over this house. Suppression of critical info, Canada puts here. And this is what Canada, but we have a lot of Canadians in the show, which is great. Oh, let's bring this up here, Les, and see if you know anything about it. And this just broke yesterday. Party leaders didn't take media questions after the English debate. Here's why. And there's the, I guess that's a party leader.
Actually, that looks like some guy. I don't know who that is.
Michael Cormier or Cormier. Okay, it says here, in a surprise move, the Leaders' Debates Commission abruptly canceled the media availabilities that were set to happen with each other, with each leader, after the English language debate. So they're saying English language debate because I guess French is spoken there too. And so this is for the English-speaking people, I guess. The decision was officially announced after the debate by the commission's executive, Michael Cormier, after an earlier verbal altercation between employees of some right-wing media outlets and some journalists who were present to cover Thursday evening's English language face-off in Montreal. Isn't that amazing how the media always labels the conservative outlets as right-wing, but they never refer to themselves as left-wing?
Yeah, they're not really.
They're media. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're the real media.
They're basically right-wing communists is what the right-wing media is in Canada. It's not really an independent right-wing media. If these people are who I think they are, like, say, Rebel Media, it's a communist Zionist media organization.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that Jewish fella. What's his name? He runs
Ezra Levant?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. It's funny how that happens. They're always there. Okay. Let's see what we got here. Canada, yes. Canada heard our last two shows, just shared the latest story this week. Yes. So let me bring that up. And this is a story about Maplehurst. It's in the Toronto Star, because we can't say. I know there's a way to get around this by using some sort of link or something, but it's 2 days ago. Maplehurst guard warns photo will get someone fired. A jail guard warned this celebratory photo would get someone fired as the Maplehurst scandal grows. Ontario is mum on punishment for mass strip search. And here is the image of the mass strip search. These people are so nice.
Yeah, we heard about that happening on the ranges up in the pods. There was something that happened up there. Wow.
Yeah. Yep. There we go. Good old Maplehurst. Never heard of that hellhole until I met you.
Okay. Yeah. Now we know lots about it.
We do. Too much. Canada says their club includes a former prosecutor as a Tory MP for Leslie's hometown. You know who he's talking about?
Yeah, that guy. I don't know if he's a bald-headed Freemason or not, but he's got a bald head. And I saw a little bit of a clip. I looked up the Rogers debate, the all-candidates debate. That didn't include all the candidates. And I saw that the MC, the person that ran the debate who asked the questions, he was a bald-headed guy too. So so I wonder if the Chamber of Commerce sent a couple of Freemason to do the work for him. I'm not sure, right? But I suspect that they used this this hairstyle or lack of a hairstyle to signal to each other, you know, like, look at me, I'm a Freemason kind of thing.
Yeah, right? Possibly.
They do these things, I'm sure.
Canada says supposed NDP, and that's the, you mentioned that before, what NDP stands for.
The New Democratic Party. It's supposed to be the party of the working class, we'll say, which every party should be. Think about it.
Right.
The only people, the working class are the backbone of your nation. Literally, they're not going to have a nation if you don't have people that work.
Right.
It's the most important aspect of the population, or the best, the most important people are the workers.
Common folk.
They're going to take care of the non-workers that can't work.
Yeah, unfortunately. Supposed NDP and PPC. What's PPC, Les?
That's the People's Party of Canada. That's Maxime Bernier. He's a communist as well. He's a globalist. Right. As far as I'm concerned, that's my opinion. There was a thing called Canada Incorporated. I've got like just about 2 feet away from me. If I want to pull it out and read it, I could, but I'm not worried about it right now. Basically, there's a whole story about how when he formed his party, CSIS gave the people that in Canada Incorporated who got his party off the ground, they gave them their office in Ottawa. Believe that, eh? So that's pretty amazing how, you know, the nation's secret intelligence service, you know, makes room for Maxime Bernier's new party to come in. If what I'm telling you is accurate, and I believe it is. Now, it's been a couple of years since I read that, but yeah, I do remember that. So that's you know, and besides, his record as a politician with the Conservatives, with Stephen Harper, and with Mark Carney in 2008 was very terrible. You know, Mark Carney was the Bank of Canada governor, and he bailed out the banks to the tune of $235 billion. Amazing.
Yeah. What a racket. So Canada says supposed NDP and PPC party candidates registered in some ridings, and of course those are districts up in Canada, didn't even show up at the all candidates meetings this past week.
Well, it's a shame. I mean, myself, if they invite me, I'm number one, I'm surprised anymore. And I'd always attend if I could, and I always do. I haven't given any contact information this time really to people because I figured I don't want any crazies calling me, like you know, any Zionist types and things like that, you know, tying up my phone line. So generally I'm pretty open, but people have been contacting my lawyer if they want to get a hold of me. And then some people have my email address. My lawyer said that the CBC contacted him this week, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, the official state broadcasting corporation in Canada. It's not well respected whatsoever by most people, I think. And he asked me if I could, you know, they wanted my phone number. I says, well, just give them my email. And that way I can correspond through email and they can't edit my things too badly, my comments. Although they can edit what I write as well.
Yeah, of course.
So,
and they do. Yeah. Canada follows it up with some only red and blue peeps at those meetings. So no word getting out of what's really wrong. So what was a meeting about? Canada, this English debate meeting. Let us know.
It's like your presidential debates, Dave.
It's just a debate for the election coming up on the 28th for them too.
I believe that's what he's okay. referring to. I think okay. yes.
Right, and they didn't allow any media to ask questions. Wow.
They don't allow, generally. They don't allow, like, a lot of these people don't allow all the candidates to attend an all candidates meeting. They only go with the big communist Zionist parties, and that's pretty much it.
Right.
They don't want to hear anything else from anyone else.
Shameless Wise says, no faith in government or their hired goons. Gee, I wonder why. Right. Huntress is
maybe
here.
Maybe we're not that stupid.
You know yeah. I mean? Yeah. Well, they want to keep you stupid. Huntress and Spy Hunter are here.
Hello.
Hello, folks. Good to have you aboard. Canada says, government lawyers tried to block the Maplehurst video and pictures used in court from the public seeing them, but the newspaper, that's a Toronto Star, forced a ruling in the court for us to be able to see it. Excellent. They did something good. Spy Hunter, you can always spot the communist political factions by the keywords peoples and workers. Yeah. Right. For sure. All right. So let's take a look, Les, and see if you've been in the news lately. I know you don't really take a look at that stuff, but let's take a look. See if they're going after you.
Let's see how flattering it was this time.
Yes. I clicked Leslie. Head. What's that?
I'm getting a big head now from the news.
Good, good.
I got compliments all the time, these guys.
You went through hell for 2 years, buddy. Leslie Borey, candidate for House of Commons of Canada. That's what it says in Jugal. April 5 was the last story in CTV News, it looks like. And of course, you know, the center. I don't know if we saw this one, Les. Let's take a look at this. I don't know if we did. Let me see.
My favorite.
Yeah.
Media. Wow.
Huh. Interesting. Okay. So let's go here. Jewish group. They can talk about you, but you can't talk about them.
There's a good example of foreign interference right there. You know, they're right. Representing Israel.
Exactly. Like, right. Canada. Of course. It's so obvious. It's sickening. Okay. The Center for Israel and Jewish Affairs in Canada is the advocacy agent of Jewish Federations of Canada, UIA, representing Jewish federations across Canada. Click here to read the article. All right, did that come up?
Yes, it did.
Okay, good. Sometimes it opens in a different page. I don't think we looked at this. Jewish groups. So this is kind of like Judea declaring war on Germany. They can declare war on you, but you're not allowed to talk about them.
Well, so this was published on March 12th, 2 days after my sentencing.
Right. Jewish groups. Oh, that's as big as it's going to get. Speak out against online hate. I wonder if somebody did like a search online and put the two words Jewish and hate in, how many times it would come up. Brantford's Leslie Borey argued at his trial that no one listened to his rambling, hateful online rants, but a number of people from prominent Canadian organizations supporting Jews. Why don't you just say a lot of Jews clearly disagree, right?
I got 10 months to go, Dave. Love it, actually. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you're not saying anything. I am.
I'm not saying nothing.
Yeah, right.
Sorry. Okay. Might not be enough to keep you in jail. Who knows?
Well, let's see. Okay, so this was... oh, God. In Monday, in Superior Court, a Jewish Canadian survivor of the Auschwitz... I'll tell you, those Germans, man, they were not very efficient. All of these survivors just slipped through the guard towers and the razor wire, and I don't know how, but they did. Was joined by representatives from the... They have organizations that you never heard of, right? Canadian Anti-Semitism Education Foundation, B'nai B'rith Canada, and the Simon Wiesenthal Center for Holocaust Studies to urge the judge. So they were pressuring the judge to give Borey the maximum penalty for his crimes, which you're now contesting, of threatening Jews, police, then Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, and opposition leader Pierre, wasn't that guy Pierre, whatever, however you say that guy's last name?
Oh, wasn't you?
Yeah, whatever. I don't even
know.
Yeah. This faggot. What do you call him?
Polly Goof.
Yeah, or Poof. This Poof. Yeah,
there you go.
Right?
Good call.
Yeah. So Pierre Poof, right? Wasn't this asshole supposed to be the next leader?
He is their leader right now.
But he's going to be supplanted by the banker?
Oh, I see what you're saying. You mean the leader of the whole country? Yeah. When I was in jail, it was funny. I was telling the guys, don't worry, liberals, man, all they got to do is get a new leader, and this guy's going to go down in the polls. It doesn't even really matter who it is. It was funny. I mean, I don't really want to see any one of these people win. Like, don't get me wrong. I don't favor one or the other, and I'm sure people know that. But basically, I just like to make a point of that. And so my prediction came true, though, and they got a new leader. Liberals did, and Pierre Poilievre went down. People don't like that guy that much. People hate him, actually, if you think about it. Yeah. A lot of signs out supporting his candidates, but it's only because people don't know that voting for him is the same thing as voting for Justin Trudeau and Mark Carney. It's the exact same thing. They actually worked together in 2008. You know, they say that the governor of Canada is at arm's reach from the government. You know what I mean? But the thing is, he was the man, and everything he did, Mark Carney did, Stephen Carper took credit for. But the problem was, what he did was very bad, and they lied to the public about what he did. And Canada did, in fact, bail out their banks quite heavily, and the banks printed their own. That's terrible. And the banks printed their own bailout money. Oh, I hate laughing when I'm trying to speak, but that's just what a hurting picture that is. Wow. I mean, I've got some bad ones up there too, but I mean, geez. I think your thing's not there. You go.
Yeah, all you got to do is look at that fag.
Wow. It's like, wow, threaten them. I mean, like, I don't think I did because, like I said, there was no intent. But I mean, like, you know, hey, at least people know I'm on the other team, so that's pretty good. I'll take that all day. All day.
This guy looks a little retarded too.
I think they elevated my status in the eyes of Canadians by including his name in the indictment, because initially it was just Trudeau. But like I said, I believe that I am guilty of actually threatening these people. I said things, oh yes, but I think I'm not guilty because there was no intent to carry out any kind of crap.
Right. And there he is. Yeah, there's something wrong with this guy, obviously. You just got to look at him.
Oh, there's something huge. They took his glasses off. You should go back a few years or even a year or so, and he's got glasses on. They're trying to rebrand this guy.
Yes, of course. Yes. Oh, here, I got the one with the glasses. Let me show you that picture.
And he's annoying to listen to as well. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
Remember that thing you sent me in jail? You shared that one that speech he made talking about how he's a goy and he's talking in front of a bunch of
Holy shit, what an asshole, man.
Like, seriously.
What an asshole.
Unbelievable.
So here's this. That's him when he was a little zip-faced kid.
Oh, I see, yes.
Yeah. And here he is with the glasses.
Oh, jeez, right. Look at that, eh?
He's just he's a hitman. That's all any of them are. They're hitmen and hitwomen for these criminal political parties. I can say that, right?
I guess. I wouldn't even give them that credit, but yeah.
Yeah, I just did. So
yes, you did.
Yeah, too bad. You don't like it? Too bad. Fuck off and die. I could say that, right?
Yeah, you're an American. You can say what you want.
Exactly. Fuck off.
I can't do that. I can just sit there, look over the fence, wishing I was you for sometimes. You know, sometimes, right? That's the thing. Like, I do envy the American people being able to speak.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
But the American people are also losing their right to speak thanks to their new president as well and his establishment. So careful with that, guys. Don't be too overconfident. That's
why you got to use it.
You certainly do.
Yeah, especially now. You got to use it or you're going to lose it. Instead, Justice James Ramsay gave Borey a time-served sentence of about 2 years plus one more year of probation. So this is very interesting, right?
That's inaccurate as well.
Okay.
He gave me a sentence of 3 years time served plus 1 year of probation because I served 2 years in jail, which was 3 years time served.
They might have known that. They just didn't put it in there because they wanted to appear that he was lenient with you. We didn't talk about this, right? So why do you think it is that these Jewish groups, and that's exactly what they are, they call themselves that, these Jewish groups pressured Ramsay and Ramsay didn't budge? Why didn't he listen to the Jews?
I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe enough harm was done to me. Maybe they're afraid that the people might not like seeing a Canadian get sent to jail for this kind of thing. I'm not sure because I don't see a whole lot of opposition to what they're doing. But I do hear it when I speak to people. But there's no like protest in the streets. But people definitely dislike being told that they can't say what they want to say in Canada. Everybody seems to think that we have free speech in Canada, and I've shown them in a large way that we do not have that.
Right, but if Ramsay, and I guess that's how you say it, right? You could say it Ramsay.
Ramsay.
If Ramsay agreed with the Jews, because that's what they are, they're Jews in groups. If he agreed with the Jews and said, yeah, I want to put him in there for 7 years, like the Jews want. Nobody would give a shit. None of those Canadians would give a shit. Remember, I contacted that human rights group in Canada to help you. They don't give a fuck.
Now, they're probably a shill organization as well.
Even if they weren't, they don't give a fuck, right? Yeah, so Ramsey does. Do you think Ramsey gives a fuck about you? I don't know. Maybe he does.
Well, he let me out right after the decision came out that, you know, showed that I was guilty, or up to that point anyhow, we are appealing. So he didn't keep me in jail until my sentencing. So obviously he feels that the time I've done in prison is more than enough.
Do you think do you think he's independent of the Jews?
I don't know entirely. Like, he said some things in the court case as well as he was charging the jury, which might have influenced their decision. Basically, he said that Goyim just means a non-Jew. And if you look at the Talmud, or my understanding of it, it means much different than that. It means that and more, put it that way. And so he told him this, and I forget what else he said. There weren't too many things, though. But, you know, that could be enough to, you know, to sway the jury. Especially if the jury's never heard about the Talmud in the past, right?
Well, so, they don't know anything. That's why they convicted
you. No, that's the thing. So
yeah, they don't know shit. You know,
I chose ignorance over what I saw as being corruption for who is going to judge me, right? Unfortunately, the result was the same.
I was disappointed in the result, given the Crown had asked for a total of 7 years. Michael Tepper, a Canadian Jew, whose grandmother survived Auschwitz. Typically, a maximum sentence is imposed for the worst cases involving the worst offenders. Mr. Borey's crimes, which consisted of multiple incidents, including repeated threats of death, coupled with his extensive collection of firearms, certainly put him close to that cat. Fuck you.
Thank you.
The community victim impact statements were delivered by those from the organizations, along with statements from Rabbi Stephen Wise, another Rabbi Stephen Wise, from, you know, you remember Rabbi Stephen Wise?
Didn't he say Judaism is communism, or Judaism is Marxism?
Some call it communism.
Yes, I call it Judaism. That's yeah. it. Thank you. Something like that.
So this rabbi, this con artist from some piece of shit synagogue, and another from the Center for Israel and Jewish Affairs. And that's the jokes that we got this article from. Speakers pointed out that Borey's denials of the Holocaust and rants against Jews should receive the same severe punishment as they would have committed against the Black, Indigenous, or LGBTQ community. I walked out of the courthouse feeling the Jewish community in Canada didn't receive that full measure of equality. In particular, 95-year-old Nate Lipcigar. Wonder how he got that name. He held cigars on his lips for most of his living days. Told the court how painful it had been to listen to the hateful propaganda spewed by Borey, saying it had been heard before in 1933. We thought it was harmless. Unfortunately, it was not harmless. Today, we know such outbursts are dangerous and lead to murder and genocide. He's comparing you to Hitler.
Well, it's all right. Hitler was a good person with the economy. I hope to fix our economy as well.
Lip cigar. Was taken to Auschwitz at the age of 13, and his mother and sister were murdered there. The hatred spewed by people such as Mr. Borey is dangerous to all. Boring Out 55 is a would-be politician, would-be, known for his outrageous rhetoric and large lawn signs. And they make sure they put your street in there. Do you still have those lawn signs out, Les?
No, the one lawn sign got taken, the one that had the Star of David equals the communist symbol equals the Freemasonry symbol at the bottom. They took that one the day it happened, when the raid happened. And then about a year later, they took my other sign where I was talking about how to lower inflation and back currency with labor and make gas 50 cents a liter. And it said Leslie Borey for prime minister on the bottom. And on the back of this sign, it said something like 25 million people killed so far from the vaccines. And
so they came onto your private property and they removed your sign, your lawn sign.
They removed the other one a year after
that. Are they allowed to do that by law? Can they come onto your private property and do that?
Violence is authority, Dave. The police can do whatever they want. We can't do anything against them. Right. They'll just kill us, okay? That's all they're going to do. Or throw us in jail. There's nothing we can do in Canada. That's what they are, okay? They're terrorists.
Can't argue with that.
Yeah, they do whatever they want to do. We just have to take their beatings, and that's all we can do because no one's got balls to stand up to them.
Can't argue with that, Les.
That's why I'm in politics, because I got the balls, so I'm going to try and lead people out of this.
Yes. Excellent.
If I don't mind saying that myself. People have told me that over and over, so I think it's true.
It is true. Of course. Okay, let's take a look at something before we go on with this article. Well, let's get back to the article first.
They didn't mention the vaccines there either, by the way.
During his trial, he took the stand to testify about what his lawyer called a wide range of grievances. You're not allowed to have grievances if they have anything to do with Jews. And then these Jewish groups come out and they want you locked up. That involved global politics. Can't talk about that. Masking. Forget it. COVID, Zionists, and the World Economic Forum. Borey argued his YouTube and BitChute videos filmed with the Canadian flag in the background. Is that the same one that you got right there now?
Absolutely.
Were theater designed to get more viewers to his channel. So he ramped up his comments saying COVID vaccines were the Jew jab. Sure. And the Holocaust was the Hola hoax. Sure, it is. Crown attorney in the case said Borey used his words, videos, and lawn signs to specifically advocate for genocide against Jewish people.
I don't remember my lawn signs advocating for genocide at all.
Well,
there wasn't even anything to do with death on those things, except for what they've done to us, the powers that be, right?
Powers who should not be.
Well, absolutely. Not in a Western culture, no.
Let's take a look at your lawn sign, shall we?
Yes, please.
All right. And there's one. Oh,
that's the one that they left. You see, that was after the raid. And there's the back of that sign. Right? Leslie Borey for prime minister. They can't have that on my lawn while I'm in jail.
No, they can't. Let's take a look at the other side.
There. Now let's see where this message of genocide is, this blueprint for genocide. Interest rates, taxes, and price gouging cause inflation. Replace taxation with anti-inflation, interest-free, labor-backed currency to fund the civil service and lending. Make gas 50 cents a liter. Reassess property values and debt to 1990s levels. Wow, what a piece of garbage I am for suggesting these genocidal.
Well, that is genocidal, Les.
Wow,
because you're attacking the Jewish banking structure. So yeah, that would mean they're genocide.
So these Jewish terrorist groups in the newspapers are pretty much misinforming the public about what my signs had on them.
Of course.
They just want to terrorize us some more. That's all they're doing.
Of course. Terrorism. That's what they do.
Yeah.
That's what they do, my friend.
And they claim to speak for all Jews. They claim it. You know what I mean? These guys claim it. Unbelievable.
It's a joke. Here we go.
Because when they say anti-Semitism, they mean every Jew, I would think. You know what I mean? Unbelievable. And they're not even Semites. a lot of these people. According to their own words, I read a book in jail called Simply Jewish, and it says that Ashkenazi Jews are just Europeans.
Yep. The crown attorney in the case said Bora used his words, and we read this already, lawn signs, and we showed the lawn signs, which I don't know how they could, but they know because, you know, the real goyim, the dumb fucks who don't know anything, are not going to read. They're not going to read carefully. And the lawn signs obviously do not advocate for genocide. We saw those signs, or that sign, both sides of it. After the sentencing, the Friends of Simon Wiesenthal Center released a statement decrying the leniency of the sentence, saying it was both grateful to the Brantford police and Crown prosecutors for taking Bori's threat seriously, but concerned the sentence didn't reflect the severity of Bori's crimes. This sentence sends a troubling message about the consequences of promoting hatred and violence, said Jamie Kersner Roberts. This is very rewarding here to read this because it's very clear that they did not get what they wanted. And that's always good. I don't know.
Of course they want more, but they got something, believe me, Dave.
They got a pound of flesh. They got a pound of flesh.
They got a bit more of their pound of flesh.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah, almost literally, right?
Yes, exactly.
They almost killed me in there.
Yes, they did. Advocating genocide is one of the most serious crimes imaginable. Once again, the Jewish community is left with the disturbing impression that threats to our safety are not being met with the seriousness they deserve by Canada's justice system. If these assholes really cared about genocide or about threats, then why don't they protest what that serial killer Netanyahu is doing right now? Because they don't.
Why don't they protest their Talmud? So Firm 15, yeah. If it's a real thing, or how they say, like in the Talmud, if what I understand is correct, you know, they're supposed to, without mercy, kill all Christians as well. You know, I mean, like, yeah. So I think
it's correct.
I would love to have a public examination of this Talmud. I think it's very important for people to see it and then have a public inquiry into a lot of these matters, including the Holocaust.
That's right.
Including the Balfour Declaration. How about the printing of currency? Who runs that? Also, we should have an inquiry into the USS Liberty, right? And our American brothers and sisters, our cousins, could benefit from the outcome of that, I think. So and we'd publicize it on the National Broadcasting Network if I would become prime minister. We're going to look into all these things and take an honest look at it without any kind of bias, and we'll see what we come up with. That's what I plan on doing if I become prime minister.
But for your for the matter, for your legal matter, you should let them know that you're going to have, if you could get a Talmud scholar, whether they're a Jew or Gentile, to testify about it. And if this is true, which I think it is, what they've written in there, you and I went over that for many hours, then they might not want to, you know, open up that can of worms.
Well, I'm going to open it for them because they're bringing me back to court. So I'm going to bring that Talmud with me.
Good, good. And you know, myself and anyone else will do whatever we can to help you.
Thank you very much. Yes, this time we're going to fight for real. I've got a chance to form a defense, and I'll see how I can do it.
Nice.
I'm on the outside now. So, yeah. So, the Canadian people, I'm going to publicize this thing quite a bit as well, and I'm glad you guys may help do that. I'm sure you will.
Not may.
So we'll see what we can do.
Will.
What? Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this is like the Thriller in Manila. This is the Rumble in the Jungle. This is going to be huge.
Yes, nice. Referring to Bori's podcast as ravings and mind-numbingly boring. Thank you, Judge. Justice Ramsey said the Jewish community is right to be concerned about his comments and to expect protection from the courts. But, he noted, judges must follow the precedents set in previous similar cases. I hope the accused has listened to Nate Lipsigar, Ramsey said to Borey. Did you, Les, listen to Nate Lipsigar?
I had to. I was sitting right there, so I listened to him, yes.
How was he? He was 95. How did he look?
He looked pretty good for 95. He's still alive.
That's too bad. I'm sorry to hear that. He was an eyewitness to the Holocaust. How could you be? It never happened, Judge, you moron. A real person, wrong word, who was in prison. His real family was murdered, allegedly. They make up all these stories. It's all been debunked, all that horseshit, Judge. Wake up. There's a mountain of, no, there isn't, documentary evidence for the Holocaust and no excuse for denying it. Wrong, Judge. You're a fucking moron. Borey was given automatic credit for 1.5 days for each day of time he already served. And that's why you say it was 3 years, right?
Right. Just short of it.
Right. Time that his lawyer said was inhumane, which we know it was because we covered that a couple of shows ago, as he was almost always triple bunked and locked down in a tiny cell because he couldn't connect with anyone willing to be his surety.
That's actually inaccurate. Yeah. Two people came forward to be my surety, as well as another person. And for each one of my bail hearings, I had someone that was willing to be my surety. This is completely incorrect. And they try to make me look like no one's ever supporting me. And they're, you know, I'm all by myself and things like this, right? So, yeah, this is, I'll call that horseshit.
Did your lawyer say that, though?
What's that?
He says, time his lawyer said was inhumane as he was almost triple bunked and locked down in a tiny cell because he couldn't connect with anyone willing to be a surety.
I don't think my lawyer said that in court. And I don't know about the transcript, but I don't think my lawyer said that because my lawyer actually had a couple people that were willing to be my surety come forward and he brought them into court. So why would he say that?
I don't know. They're just this expositor horseshit. Newspapers just saying it. What for the listeners, what is a surety?
Someone's willing to vouch for you if you're out on bail. They'll keep an eye on you and make sure you don't break the law. If you do, they'll basically tell on you and have you put back in jail. And usually there's some kind of a financial obligation placed onto the surety to make sure that they don't not live up to their obligations according to what the court wants them to do.
And, of course, the term surety bond is kind of well known. He had never been to jail before. He was injured twice and hospitalized once when he was hit on the head and had stitches, said Ian McQuaig, and that was your lawyer. McQuaig, also described the deaths on his unit, the fights, and the traumatizing nature of being exposed to overdoses and conflict. Of course, we covered a lot of this in a show a couple of weeks ago. Ramsey agreed to the time served, calculated at almost 3 years, but ordered Borey couldn't live in a residence where firearms are present. When arrested, Borey and his wife had a large number of handguns, rifles, and ammunition stored properly in their home. They have to say that now because that charge was thrown out. Borey's weapons, ammo, lawn signs, two computers, hard drive and camera were all ordered to be forfeited. Now, that's not true, right?
Not entirely, no. The lawn signs they're going to take for some reason. My computers they're going to take and the hard drive and the camera. But my guns, weapons they called them, they're firearms, right? They took the, yeah, wow, they just try everything. They make it sound worse. It's funny. Anyway, I'm allowed to have my guns, but my wife can take her guns, right? But they can't be in my house for a year. So what the judge has accomplished is basically he's relieved us of our pistols because the police will probably dispose of them after 30 days or whatever it is, and we won't get those back. Had he allowed it to be stored in the house. I could have got everything back. We could have just put things in cabinets and I just wouldn't be allowed to touch things. That's what it is. So for 1 year, I can't have guns in my house, despite the fact that I have a 10-year firearms ban, as far as I know. And so we can have guns in the house. We just have to wait for a year and I can't touch them if they're in the house. Right.
You think they're going to destroy your handguns?
Oh, sure. I mean,
why would they do that?
Because this is Canada. They don't want people to be armed. Right. You know what I mean? That's the thing. There's a saying that, you know, when they want to take your guns away, it's because they're going to do things to you that you're going to shoot them for. Right. I think that's what it is.
Right.
I'm not advocating for it. I'm just saying what what the government's going to do. And, you know, and that's why they're going to take things away from people. I'm pretty certain about it with this 5G warfare, right? They're going to take us over without a shot being fired.
They're going to try.
And they're going to make sure of it.
They're going to try. So the computers, hard drive, and camera, you don't think you're going to get that back?
No, I don't think I will. But I do need to get my data back for this trial. So
what? What makes them think they could just take your property and keep it? What's the rationale behind it?
This is Communist Canada. Again, the violence is authority and they can do whatever they want to do. Absolutely anything.
Fucking assholes.
They figured it was because it was, you know, used to commit a crime or something like that, right? So I shouldn't have, you know, the camera and, you know, the computers and things like this, right? Because it's, you know, but if I win the case, I'm not sure what's, well, I'll probably lose on the incitement of hatred charge, but the other three should get chucked out after, I think, as my lawyer said.
Right. All right. We got Aaron Eagle is in the house and Rebel Johnny. Canada says, why can't peeps show up in court and present the Goyim position that unless you are Jewish, you are not equal to the dirt under your feet, Les? Well, can somebody show up in court during your matter?
We could. We just didn't see anybody that was going to help, like to speak for me, right? So, you know, like Paul Fromm's a good man, but it would just be more, I think, not fodder, but basically more fuel for their fire, this, you know, this thing that they're trying to do. They're trying to discredit us, right? Because they've been discrediting Paul for an awful long time, despite the fact that he's a human rights activist. And he's
and a hell of a nice guy.
Yeah, he certainly is. And he works hard, too. He's about 20 years older than I am, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And the man,
yeah. Or more.
The man is, maybe. And the man's, like, still active fighting for freedom in Canada. I mean, I see him, and you know, since I feel sorry for him, he can hardly walk sometimes, and he's still doing things. He's still moving around. He's carrying these heavy books around. I gave him a little hand the other day with that. But you know, I got to watch my back too. You know, it's been pretty bad for years. But anyhow, so no one really came to light that, you know, that would actually help, or someone knowledgeable enough to speak on this topic on my behalf, I don't think, right? Sure, we could have brought in people that knew me and things like that, and they could have said, you know, a few nice words, but I don't think it would have made much difference, and it might have just annoyed the judge who, you know, was pretty much a no-shit kind of guy, it seemed, right? So we don't want to start bringing a bunch of fluff into his courtroom.
Yeah, and there's Paul, of course, the white supremacist Paul Fromm, because as we found out, there's a Jewish wine merchant who, or hopefully he's dead, let me see. Yeah, he's dead. Yeah, was a Jewish Chicago wine merchant. Yeah, so they want to make sure that Paul Fromm is a philanthropist and this Paul Fromm is the white supremacist, lowercase white. Yeah, so there's Paul. Yeah, he was born in 49. So yeah, he's even more than 20 years because you were born in December 69. Of 69 and he was born in January of 49. So about 21 years. Almost 21 years, you know, almost.
Yep.
Okay. So let's go here to the chat. Yeah, Paul's a great guy.
Yes.
Psychodrilla. Hello, Psychodrilla.
Nice. Saw his show yesterday. Fantastic.
Yeah, he's great.
Wow.
Psychodrilla says, white family pride all day, every day. Thank God for men like Mr. Borey.
Thanks very much, Psychodrilla.
And besides those fine words, he gave you $20.
Oh, thank you very much. That's very nice of you.
this guy, he donates, I think, all of whatever he gets doing his streams to good people like you.
So that's really good.
I don't think he keeps a penny of it.
Wow.
Yep. He's one hell of a guy. Canada says, so now Leslie is equal to the Holocaust peeps, as Leslie was also imprisoned with barbed wire, right? So you're a survivor too, Les.
I did survive. I survived a few things there.
Yes.
Since I've left, a person that was in the jail, a friend of mine, called me and told me six people died since I left. And then another person that I know, I talked to him this week, and he said in the last couple of weeks, two more people died at Maplehurst from some kind of a mysterious illness. So, yeah, I survived something there. I survived an attack on my life and another one as well, which is more of a minor incident, but it was very unusual. And, and that infection that I had, that my whole head swelled up. I thought it was my injuries coming back to play. You know what I mean? Back into play there from the year, over a year before that. So, yeah, it was interesting that to live through all these things. Like the whole time I could just think about my country, and I just thought, geez, if I die here, I mean, I've done lots, but I haven't taken us all the way to the end, right? And I want to do that. I want to take us all the way to interest-free banking and have a real government and a smaller government too. So I'd like to accomplish these things and bring back manufacturing, all kinds of things to make people's lives better for them, lower their cost of living. And I was afraid, not for my own life, just because I want to live longer. It's not that. It's because I have a job to do. So I really thought it'd be nice to be able to live and finish that job, or at least get back out and get back in the fight. And thanks, Dave, for you and all your friends here. We're definitely in the fight now. Thanks to you guys. Thanks to other people like Paul that we're looking at right now on the screen. Thanks to Monica Schaefer and the Rizzolis as well. Not just the Rizzoli, but Diane King as well. I just think of them as a couple, right? So that's why I said it like that.
Yeah.
And all these good people and the guards and the prisoners, the inmates, the Rangers, all these people helped, and all of our friends on the outside, like the Red Pill philosopher and things like that, she was at my trial. So a lot of people threw in on this, and I'm pleased with this right now. I think it was fantastic what happened, and we're going to do some good things in the future.
Awesome, Les. Yes, you survived Maplehurst concentration camp. Worse than Auschwitz. Mark Carney, Canada says, is known as Carnage in the UK after what he did with their Bank of England and their nation's economics. Lisa from Germany is here. She says, hello, Les, Bori, and Dave Gahary. Hi, Klasha. Hi, Shameless YSS. Thomas Dwyer and Huntress. Hi, Stephanie. Good company. And Lisa says, people are in denial. It's easier to fool people than to convince them they've been fooled. The trust in the authorities, the fear of a virus, a pandemic, nobody had any proof for, was stronger in them than skepticism and the fear of getting poisoned by a bioweapon injection. Such an evil intent by the authorities, such a possibility did not even cross their minds. They are people who generally do not ask any questions at all. The world seems to be in order for them as long as it goes smoothly enough. And they reject being disturbed in their worldview. They want to cling to the belief the government cares for them. Maybe they fear the realization and feeling of total helplessness. I couldn't have said it better. She is a wise German Fraulein. Psychodrilla, Dave's Jew voice, priceless. Oh, Jews must live. All right. Thomas Dwyer, Rabbi Gahary. I should be so lucky. Psychodrilla, genocidal lawn signs. Great name for a band. Yeah.
Good call.
Stephanie says, Ashkenaz people are genetic descendants of Noah's son Japheth, as per Genesis 10:1-3, not Shem. Flood. Hey, Flood. Leslie Borey did nothing wrong.
Thanks, Flood.
Yes. Lisa says, quote, and this is a quote from the Talmud. You know how Christians like read their, a lot of Christians read their Bibles before going to sleep, right? I wonder if a lot of Jews read their Talmud before going to sleep. Yeah. There's a quote from the Talmud. Advocating genocide is one of the most serious crimes imaginable. Once again, the Jewish, oh no, this isn't a quote from the Talmud. Once again, the, not yet, the Jewish community is left with a disturbing impression, that, this is what I read before, that threats to our safety are not being met with the seriousness they deserve by Canada's justice system. Wow. That's the schizophrenic mindset of a sick, of sick psychopaths. Don't they realize they are the ones who do nothing but exactly that to the nations of the white race and beyond? Here's a quote from the Talmud, and we all know this. The best of the goyim, non-Jews, have to die. Shameless Wise asks, what you need is a Talmudic Jew, this is for your legal matter, that's so, who's so arrogant that he doesn't give a fuck, come to court and admit under oath the Talmud is truth and Jews believe it. Great point. Lots of things you got to think about there, Les.
Yeah, sometimes they think they're certain people think they're untouchable, and then they just act accordingly. And, so far they've been proven to be correct, though.
Yes. All right, let's get back to the chat. And here we go. Lisa from Germany, they have the death penalty for the goyim who know about the truth, what the Talmudic rabbis teach. Thomas Dwyer gave you $10, Les.
Oh, thank you very much, Thomas.
And Bushmaster 6A says, a couple of loonies for you, Les. He gave you $5.
Thank you very much, Bushmaster 6A.
And Klasha says, what Drilla said. And she gave you $10.
Oh, thank you very much, Klasha. Oh,
that's very nice. Thank you. That's very nice. And Canada put up a post here. Let's take a look at it, because we're coming up on closing time.
If we can eat up hours like nobody's business,
it's amazing. It's crazy, man. It's crazy.
It's like on the phone when I called you from jail. Like
it went so fast.
Yeah. It's like, wow.
Yeah. Really? It went so fast. It was like, what was that recording? It was like, you have 1 minute remaining or something like that. Right?
Yeah.
And that was it. It was over. Who is running locally in the federal election? Published April 8. So today is what, the 18th? This was 10 days ago. All right. Ah, look at that.
Hey, that'd be funny if that was the result in that order.
Yeah, I know. That's cool. Well, it's alphabetical. So that's why. Yeah,
that
that's
Larry
why
Brock guy, he's got a lot of lawn signs in this city, a huge amount of them.
Are they genocidal?
In my opinion, yes, they are.
Yeah, right. But,
yeah, that's subject to interpretation, though.
And there it is, the confirmed candidates in the running and their websites. Of course, Les doesn't have a website.
Now, he's the one that called me odious.
Because they took his computer, you fuckwads. They called you odious.
Call me scurvy, Dave. It's one of the definitions.
Scurvy.
No vitamin C. I resent that.
Right. Right.
The scurvy survivor.
British sailors were known to get scurvy out at sea. That's why they had limes. That's why they call them limeys.
Nice.
Why do they call it South Six Nations? Does that have to do with Indians?
Yeah, it's the Six Nations Indian Reservation is what it is. I go there all the time. Nice people. I like them a lot.
Yeah. Are they genocidal?
Pardon me?
Are they genocidal?
No, I don't think they are. I think they're on the other end of the genocide for a long time, I think. I do believe that they're targeted. But then who wasn't, it seems, right?
Well, yes, yes.
There is a short answer, I think. But yeah,
well, like Lisa said, right, they're the ones, right? What do they say about throwing rocks at glass houses?
Yeah, okay. In glass houses, don't throw rocks.
Right. Yes, right. Okay. Yeah, so
they changed the name of the riding from Brant for Brant to Brant for Brant South Six Nations now. We didn't know that when we were getting signatures. We had to amend our form a bit to include the rest of the name when we were finished.
Gotcha. Here's another one from Canada. When I say Canada, I mean the poster named Canada. And this is from the Dex Day in that rag, The Expositor. Eight candidates running in Brant for Brant South Six Nations. All right. And there's Les first. That's right. Go alphabetical, fools. All right. And let's see. Huh? They don't say anything bad about Leslie. Why not? He's Hitler. What the hell is wrong with you people? This guy wants to kill all Jews. Didn't you see his lawn signs?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Fucking morons.
All over. Oh my God! That's all it said was genocide.
Right. Jeez.
Wow. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Klasha says, not to be weird, but Les has such a charming smile. Can't help but smile along. Why is that weird, Klasha? It's not weird.
Thank you very much.
What do we got here? There's some sort of a picture of like all of, oh God, this is all these, I guess that might be in your writing. Is that right there, Shameless? Let's take a look. That's right. Is that in your writing? Right there. You got a lot of candidates. Look at them all. Oh my God, there's no Jews here. That's anti-Semitic. You got everybody but Jews. You got David Jew. Oh, there's one. That's okay. We're not advocating for genocide. We're just doing a show. We're just doing a show. No genocide here. Sorry, Jews.
I'm trying to stop a genocide, actually.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, they know, I saw it. I think they got things backwards, these guys.
And they know that. No, they know exactly what they're doing. Okay, Shameless, this is what the ballot looks like in Pierre Poof's home writing. Okay, and where is that fag from, the Poof?
You know what? I don't even know what riding that guy's in. I have no idea if it's somewhere in Calgary or out west or where it is. I have no idea where this guy's from.
Yeah.
You know, I hardly Shameless. Care. I know.
Canada says, yeah, the above is like 100 plus candidates. Shameless Wise says, I've changed my mind. I'm going to vote and write in Adolf Hitler. Good.
That's a good move.
Tory leader writing. Canada says. So, wow, that's a lot of, well, that's pretty cool. Canada's democracy is vibrant.
Who said that?
Me.
Oh.
It's a joke. Yeah. It's not vibrant. It's a joke. All right. It is 11. No, wait, hold on. Is it 10:59 and 22 seconds? And we're going to shove off because we did 2 hours. Canada says, thanks for the great show today, guys. Thank you, Canada. Les, would you like to bid au revoir to all of the wonderful people in the audience?
Most certainly. Thank you very much for your nice comments. And Dave and me will probably be back next Friday if I don't have a job by then, which is probably going to be the case. And, we're going to have another 2 hours of fun and exciting information sharing with other people.
Or more than you.
It's Good Friday today, too, so I wish everybody a good Friday out there. I'm not going to say happy Good Friday, but a good Friday, because, you know, that's just the day that some people, we're not allowed to, you know what? We're not allowed to say that who killed Jesus anymore, thanks to the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance's definition, yep. The 11 points that we can't talk about now in our Western culture because some foreign interference has gotten into our business. And if I'm elected, I promise you this, you'll be able to say whatever you want to say about Jews and whatever you want to say about anything. Just don't, advocate for violence without a good reason. I'll even allow that as prime minister. If there's something wrong, go ahead, advocate it for it if it's called for.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they want us neutered so we can't do anything. Take away our computers, our guns, our voice, lock us up. Not going to happen, guys, girls. We're not going to give up.
Good luck, America. Stay strong.
Yes. Okay. Canada says, with internet voting, we can write in other peeps' names. Shameless Wise says, Dave Gaharry, do a stream during the election. Do you want to, Les?
Well, we could, actually, if you'd like to. The election's on Monday, the 28th. So if you want to do it during the
election. I'm not doing anything.
If you want to do it, like, as the count rolls in, we could do that, like start at 9 o'clock at night or something like that. I don't mind. During the day would probably be a nothing burger because nothing's going on, right. You know, but as the results roll in, perhaps we could do that.
All right. Cool. Excellent. Yeah. Good idea. Bye. Shameless.
I would love to spend election night with you, Dave, and the people out there, all the great people that are watching.
There I'd you go. Love to hear that. So let's get our, you know, our party hats on and our, you know, popcorn and our beer, and we'll have a party on election night. So let's do it. I usually go to bed early, but it's a special occasion.
Oh, there's one thing though. I think I think I can only, I don't even know if I can appear that day, actually, Dave. I think it's illegal.
Really?
Yes. I don't know if I can, so maybe we shouldn't do that because I don't want to jeopardize my participation in future elections. You know what I mean? So I don't think we can do that election night because we're not supposed to campaign on the day.
Wow.
Even though the polls are closed, I don't know if it's legal to do that. So I'm not. I think maybe we should take it easy on that one. Unfortunately,
okay. Let's find out. Can Canadian candidates? What was the term you used?
I can't campaign on election day.
Campaign on election day. All right. Here we go. Rules for political advertising. I guess that's it, right? Because it would be advertising. Let's find out.
I think so. I'm not supposed to campaign.
Before we head out.
Yeah, we're going to have to scratch that. Sorry about that, folks.
Well, we don't know for sure, right? Let's find out. All right.
I've been out of the game for a couple of years. That just came back to me.
Well, let's find out.
This is Ontario. You want Elections Canada, yes.
It said Elections Canada. Oh, it didn't. Okay, so let's go back. Okay, Elections Canada. All right, let's go in here. And... you know, I was just hoping for a simple AI, you know, answer to that. Okay. All right. You see anything here? Let me go back. Look. Can Canadian candidates campaign on election day? Maybe we should use some AI. All right, let's just see what this says. Okay, here, let's make this bigger. And we'll get the answer right now. Okay, most candidates start campaigning once the election is called. During the campaign, blah, blah, blah. Promote their platform. Go door to door. Take part in debates. I don't see anything there about... Are Canadian candidates prohibited I could spell. Yeah, I can't. From campaigning on election day. Okay, here you go. This is probably it. Okay. Campaign signs, you can't have them, Les, because they're genocidal.
No, they're all genocidal.
Yes. Canvassing. Okay, let's see. The blackout period. Blackout period is a ban on election advertising on election day. It starts at midnight before the opening of the polls on election day and continues until the close of polls. There you go. You can do it after polls close. Blackout period applies to candidates, political parties, and third parties. No one may knowingly conduct election advertising during the blackout period on election day. The ban on election advertising during the blackout period does not apply to internet messages if the message existed before election day and no changes were made to it since then. The ban also does not apply to distributing pamphlets and posting messages on signs, posters, or banners, campaigning online. Your campaign may blah, blah, blah. Let's see. So that's it, the blackout period. That's what it is. So you could do it after, what time do the polls close, Les? Do you know? 7?
I think it's 9 o'clock here.
Wow, late. So it is going to be a late show.
Yeah.
All right.
10-year time?
Yes. No, what time did you say it would be? 9?
Yeah.
9, it's 8 my time. I'm an hour earlier.
Oh, pardon me, we're an hour ahead.
I'm in the central time zone. Yes. Right. Yes, so, well, right now I am. You never know where I'm going to be.
You're good. You'll be an hour better off than I will then. That's
yes.
Good.
Yes, exactly. So there you go, Shameless. What's that, Les?
What I'll do is I'll look into, before that happens, I'm pretty sure we're good to go, but I'll look in to make sure 9 o'clock is the time when polls close. I think it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me know. And
Fantastic. No, this is great. It's back on. I love it.
Should we look at that now? What time polls close so we can.
Sure. Do that. Yeah.
Okay. All righty then. Here we go. Goodbye, Pierre Poof. Oh. Okay. What time? Yeah. What time?
Swap him out for someone that's Canadian.
Do polls close in, what would we call it?
In the ridings.
Yeah, which one though? They're all different. Bro.
Brantford, South, Six Nations.
Well, what can we see Ontario?
I think it's standard all over Canada.
Oh, okay.
Wherever they all close, like they gotcha. Just follow the time zones after that, right? So,
all righty then. Here we go. Voting hours across Canada. Voting hours on election day. All righty then. You got Newfoundland, Atlantic, Eastern, Central, Mountain, and Pacific. Atlantic, I guess. Eastern?
I'm in Eastern.
Okay, Eastern is 9:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
Okay, so 9:30 we have to start at then. Not a second before.
Exactly. And there it is.
I'm confusing.
Yes. So grab your Talmud and your popcorn and join us. There it is. 9:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. We got to get this Leslie Borey guy. We saw it happen in 1933. It can happen again. We have nothing to do with it. It's all them. All right, Les. Let's see if we got any more messages before we shove off. Do, 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 do. And the answer is, Shameless says, Canada says maybe 11 Eastern. Shameless says, I think it's 8. p.m. Polls close in the West later than Ontario. Well, I think it's, look, just to be safe, it looks like they close at 9:30. Les, can you find out? Can you double check on that and let us know?
I'll try to do that. I'll see if we have to go by the Western polls or just our local polls.
Yeah, yeah. As soon as you know, then I can put up the interview, the upcoming interview, and then folks can look on FTJ. media.com and you can see what time it is because it'll show the time on it. Les, okay, did you so want? Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, it's Good Friday today, so we're not going to find out today, I don't think. But maybe on Monday I'll call.
Lex yeah, next day. Week. Next yeah. week's fun. Yeah. yeah, we got plenty of time. Les, did you? I don't know, remember if you. I know you said goodbye, but did you mention the wonderful donations that you got?
Well, yeah, and thank you very much to all the people that donated as well. I always appreciate that. Thank you very much. It's really nice of you. It's really above and beyond, let me tell you. It's nice of you guys to do that.
Well, they saw what you went through, and they see what you're like now. And as Klasha says, you've got that weird smile. No, wait a second. She didn't say that. She thought it was weird. She said, you've got that infectious smile, charming smile. Can't help but smile along. There you go, Les. Great to see you, buddy. Smile-demic. What's that?
A smile-demic is what we need.
Yes, exactly. You are a great guy, Les, and thanks for sharing the 2 hours here with us. And have a great Good Friday, a great Easter, great weekend, Les, and all you out there. And we'll see you hopefully next. Well, look, if you do get a job next week, which would be, I mean, you're probably looking for one, right? So
yes.
If you do get one, and you're a machinist at your trade, right? That you're.
I am.
Yeah. So if you do get a job, we're not going to have a show Friday. Les is going to keep in touch, and we'll see you hopefully next Friday. And I'll be on, let's see, Tuesday, of course, with James Mason. Wednesday, James Mason and I will be on G's show. That's a sane asylum.
Nice.
And then Thursday, I'll be on with Mason again, of course. Duke and I are not going to have a show Sunday because it's Easter, right? There's no reason to. That doesn't make any sense. So no show this Sunday. Duke doesn't know. Wait, if he watches this show, he's gonna know. But yes, Giuseppe at noon Central, and then Tuesday and Thursday with. Oh, wait a second. I'm going to have somebody else, Les. I just thought about this. Oh, I think I'm going to have Dennis Wise on. You've seen his movies, right?
I don't recall. The name is familiar to me. I think I've seen him interviewed on other programs, or at least maybe when he was interviewed, he didn't show his face. I'm not sure what he looked
yeah.
like.
Yeah. Well, have Brian you ever heard of
him? Brian Rue, I think, interviewed him, I think.
Yeah, have you ever heard of Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told?
Yes.
Yes, that's the Dennis Wise.
He made that?
Yeah. Yes.
Wow, that's fantastic. Good job.
Yes, yes. He's a terrific guy. We're pretty close. And we'll have a nice interview. I think we're going to do that Wednesday, the 23rd, before G's show. And then we'll have G's show. And then we'll see what happens after that. And have a great weekend, my friend.
You too. And
all of our family out there, wherever they are, in Germany or Canada or the United States, or it is cool, isn't it, talking to all these people from all over the world?
It's wonderful.
Yes.
Yeah, they're good people.
Ah, one last thing. Lisa from Germany says, Dave, why do you trust AI that much? I don't. Who feeds AI? Jews. Can you rely on AI as a truthful source? Sometimes. Always, all the time? No. In any case, depends. So that's the way I do my research. I use all these different sources. But I mean, something as, you know, perfunctory as, you know, when do polls close, you know, in Canada, that I think is rather innocuous to search for. And you can ask AI that question. That's like saying, you know, how many hours in a day, right? And they'll let you know. And then in that case, I would trust them. Les, happy Easter, my brother. Enjoy the weekend with your wife. And we'll see you next week. And, of course, all of our wonderful family out there across the world. Happy Easter.
All the best to you, Dave, and everyone out there.
Thank you, Les.
You're welcome.